Today she is Masechta Menachos Daf Ches, and we will begin on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, 10 lines from the top by Rava. So we are in the middle of a sugya about the need to do the avoid of the Karban Mincha in a keli that's in the hands of the Kohen or could be stationary on the ground. And we've already established in the previous year two halachas. One halacha is that when we put the ingredients of the Karban Mincha in a klisharis, they could be put while that klisharis is stationary. And similarly, when we do the kmitza, it could be also on the ground stationary. And both of those halachas we've learned from the Lechem Aponim, which a very fundamental concept is the Lechem Aponim is a form of Karban Mincha. Because, as we discussed in the previous year, both when it comes to put the bread into the shulchan, or when it comes to take the bezichin off the shulchan is stationary on the ground. Now Rava asked the next question. By Rava, Kiddush Koimitzmai. We know that the third step in the process of the Karban Mincha is first putting the ingredients in the klisharis, doing your kmitza, and then putting the kmitza, that koimitz, into klisharis. So now asks Rava, Koimitz mai. What will be the halacha regarding putting the koimitz into that klisharis? Mimincha pinalo. Do we learn this halacha from the other halachas of Karban Mincha that we just said don't require that it be in the kohen's hand? It could be stationary on the ground. Or medamiel pinalo. Or do you learn it from the halacha of dam that the kabbalas hadam by all the kabbanas are done with the kohen holding the klisharis in his hand? We learn it from Dam, and therefore the halacha is, when you're putting the koimitz into klisharis, it would be unacceptable for the klisharis to be on the ground, it has to be in the hands of the kohen. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rava Hachi, is this indeed the opinion of Rava? Ask the Gemara, V'etma, koimitz shecholka b'shnei kelim. Instead of putting the koimitz into one keli, you divided it and put it into two separate klisharis. Rav Nachman Amar Ein HaKadosh. Rav Nachman says it's unacceptable. Rava Amar Kadosh, it's fine. Ask the Gemara, Vim Isa, if Rava is now telling us that we can learn the halacha of a Karban Mincha from Dam, why not Leilif Midam? And just like by Dam, as we're going to learn in a half a second, the halacha is that if the dam is put into two separate kelim, it's unacceptable. So too should be the halacha by Karban Mincha. Says the Gemara, indeed, Hada by Rava Mehi. And Rava indeed agrees that if the koimitz was put into two kelim, it's not acceptable. Just like by the dam. However, as the Rambam and the Rishonim point out, it's not exactly the same. Because if the koimitz was put into two separate kelim, it's rectifiable. Combine them into one. If the kabbalas hadam was done in two kelim, that kabbalas hadam is totally unacceptable, not rectifiable. And unless you still have dam hanefesh in the neck of the animal, that animal cannot be used for a carbon. Ask the Gemara, v'dam menolan d'loy kodesh lachtsoim. And from where indeed do we know the halacha is that if the dam that we need for Zrikas Adam, the Kabbalah wasn't done in one keli, it isn't acceptable? And as a machlokes rishonim, at what carbon are we discussing here? That we're saying that if the dam wasn't accepted in one keli, it will not be a valid Kabbalah Adam. Everybody agrees that by the Chatas Pnimius that we discuss so extensively, the Parhelm Dovish Tzibur, that the halacha is that you have to sprinkle that dam 7 times towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim and 4 times on the Mizbeach. If you didn't receive enough dam to do all of those rikas, although the Rishonim say the 7 and 4 are considered 2 separate units, so if you got enough dam to do all 7, or you got enough dam to do all 4, that's acceptable. But let's say for the seven that you're supposed to do towards the Kodesh Kedoshim, you only got four, enough to do four. Everybody agrees that's what the Gemara refers to, that it would not be an acceptable Kabbalah Saddam. The question, however, comes up in the Rishonim, what about the Chatas Chitzonis? Well, we also learned in Masechta Zvachim that how many Zrikas do you L'chatchila have to do of the Chatas Chitzonis? Four. What would be the halacha if you only got enough dam for one? Or for less than four? What would be the din? It seems that it's the opinion of all Rishonim, since we also learned in Masechta Zvachim, that we paskin like Beis Hillel, only one matan is absolutely essential. So therefore, even if you didn't get all four, b'diyevet it's acceptable because one zrika is enough b'diyevet. This interesting machlokes Rishonim, however, is it possible to have even less than one, that then it won't be acceptable? Some Rishonim say you could have so little dam that you can't even do one zrika and it wouldn't be an acceptable kabbalah sadam. There are other Rishonim say that no. But a chatz chitzonius, since the amount of blood that's needed is so very minimal, it's only one zrika, we're not talking about the chatz chitzonius. So again, back into the Gemara. The dam and nolan, where do we know that the halacha by dam, if he didn't receive enough dam, the loy kodesh lechitzoim, the taner of tachlifim and shol, kiddush pachs michtei zob klizeh, you got enough, you got less than enough dam in one keli, or pachs medam beklizeh, and then you got less than what you need in the other keli, like Kaddish. This is a halacha by the Paraduma, that we know there's a mixture of ash and mayim chayim. It says here the Braisa, that if you don't have enough to do all of the zrikas that you need to do of the Paraduma, mayim chayim and Afer mixture, it's not acceptable. And then the Gemara continued, v'boi loy b'dam mayim. Why will be the halacha by dam? Only, so far we've only proven what is the halacha by the paraduma, ash and water mixture. Do we say hilchasihi? That halacha by paraduma, if you don't have enough, is a halacha Moshe Mitzinai. And there's a rule, mahochas alayapinat, that we don't learn from halacha Moshe Mitzinai. And there's a machlokes rishonim, what does that mean we don't learn from halacha Moshe Mitzinai? The simplest pshat is that something that we only know based on halacha Moshe Mitzinai cannot be a source to teach us other halachas. I did see an opinion that if there's a hekesh between two subjects, then even though it's halacha Moshe Mitzinai, we can learn one from the other. Oidilma, hasa maitama, why is the reason by the water of the paraduma, water ash mixture, that you have to have enough to do all of the hazars, and otherwise it's not good, because the Tavu B'mayim. The Torah used the word B'mayim. And B'mayim means you need to have all the requisite water you're going to need. Hachinami, so therefore by dam, haksiv v'tavu b'dam. The halach is b'dam. You need to have all the dam you need to have. Vitmar, and an answer to this question, Amar Rav Zarik, Amar Rav Elazar, af b'dam l'kiddush. By dam, the halach is as well, that if you didn't receive all the dam you need to have, then it won't be an acceptable Kabbalah Saddam, and that dam cannot be used for the Zrika Saddam. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rava, Tanya Nami Hachi. We actually learn the same in a Braisa. The Braisa says, V'tovel, V'loy Maspik B'dam. The Torah says that when you do the Tefillah to spritz with that dam, you have to have enough, you have to do a tefillah. You have to dip your finger into the blood, not just wipe your finger and get it wet. Bedam, here it says, shehei bedam shir tefillah. You have to have enough dam to do it. Shehei bedam shir tefillah meikar. You have to have all the dam you're going to need. Min adam shebeinyan, which the Gemara is going to focus what min adam shebeinyan means in a moment. Now the Gemara comes to explain this price. V'itzrich l'michta v'taval. First the Gemara focuses on the first two halachas. V'itzrich l'michta v'taval, v'itzrich l'michta b'dam. The Torah has to teach us these two halachas. D'kos rachman v'taval. If the Torah would have just said the word v'taval, have a mina, we would think, afagav d'loy kibel shir tefilis, that even though you don't have enough dam to do all of the zrika you have to do, as long as you dip your finger into the blood, it's good enough. Afgav d'loy kibel shir tefilis mikara. That's why kos rachman b'dam. that in order for this dam to be usable, you have to have all the dam you're going to need. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Vikas Rachman Bedam, if the Torah only said the word Bedam, have a minafila maspik. It's good enough for you to wipe. You don't have to actually dip your finger into the blood. Kas Rachman V'tavel Menadam, Kas Rachman V'tavel, that you have to dip your finger. So we said there was this cryptic line in the Braisa, Menadam should be Inyan. What does that mean? Lemute Mai. What does that line come to teach us? Amar Rava, Lemute Shraim Shebetzba. Which means as follows. Somebody stuck his finger into the dam. He did a good job of sticking his finger into the dam. He had plenty of dam on his finger. And he gives a spritz, gives a sprinkle with that dam. And he still has dam left on his finger. Teaches us the Braisa that that leftover blood on his finger cannot be used for the next Srika. Because as soon as the sprinkling is done, all of the remaining blood on the finger becomes shrine. Mesaile L'Rabbi Elazar, which is consistent with what Rabbi Elazar said, the Omer Rabbi Elazar said, Shraim Sheba Etzba Psulim. The leftover dam on the blood becomes pasul. Interesting shaila that I saw of Shach in the Seif Avi Ezri asks. We're learning that you have to take dam, the dam by the Paraduma, for example, and you have to spritz it on the person who was tummy. So let's say a person, the Kohen has bad aim, he doesn't hit him. So what will be the halacha on the dam that's left, but he still has dam left on his finger? What will be a halacha with that leftover dam? On one hand, you could say, it's not shrayim. It's only shrayim if the original dam hit the victim. It didn't hit. On the other hand, you could say, it was already nizrak. And once it's nizrak, whatever is left is shrayim. So Rav Shach is medayik in the Rambam, that as soon as zrika was done, even though that zrika will have to be repeated because it didn't hit the target, it's still going to become shrayim and it cannot be used for the next zrika. Amrei Ravin Baravad L'Rava, Amrei Talmidach. Your Talmidim taught us that Amra Rav Amram, the Rav Amram taught us, a braisa. Just to review a halacha that we discussed in Masechet Zvachim. The halacha is that if the dam of a carbon, chatos, gets on to the begodim of a kohen who's doing the avoida, we learned the halacha is that those begodim require kvisa, they require laundering. Not only do they require laundering, but they actually require laundering the mokum kadosh in the azara. So the braisa says as follows. Hayamaza, the kohen is doing the spritzing, the nitzah hazar miyadai, and some of the dam falls off his finger. Im atchlai hiza, if he hasn't done hazar, and we're going to focus on what this means in a moment, talk kibus. If that dam gets on the clothing of the kohen, kibus will be required. Mishihiza, but afterwards ain't on kibus. So the Gemara is trying to understand what does this braisa that Rav Amram's quoting mean. So the Gemara assumes, and this is the posh, the pshat of the braisa, it seems, my laugh, actually gama hazasa, umishagama hazasa. What does the braisa mean? That as long as you're in the middle of doing zrika, any dam that gets on the kohen's clothing will require kvisa. If you've completed the zrikas, then the dam that gets on the kohen's clothing will not require kvisa. But based on what we're learning now, that's incorrect. Because we're learning now, as soon as you spritz with a dam on your finger, any dam left on your finger is shrayim. And therefore it shouldn't require kvisa if it gets on your clothing. So how do we understand this braisa, given the halachas that we've learned in this year? My love, again, doesn't the braisa seem to say, actually, gamazasa, if you're still in the middle of the hazas, any dam that gets on the clothing will require kvisa. Or mishigama hazasa, only when you've completed the hazas, then you won't require kvisa. Isn't this a raya, that shirayim sheba etzba, the dam that's left on your finger, is kosher blood, can be used ksherim, and a kosher blood, and that's why that dam can bring a requirement of kvisa. Says Mar, that's not the way to understand the braisa. Loi. Actually, the way to understand the braisa is as follows. If you have dam on your finger, and you haven't done yet any zrika with that dam, So that dam is dam that's eligible for Zrika. Since that's dam that's eligible for Zrika, that dam gets on the Kohen's Beged, Kvisa will be required. However, Mishiyotza, if you already did a Zrika, and you have dam left on your finger, Mishiyotza Hazor Miyadoi, the Mitzvah Mamash Nisher, but you still have some blood on your finger, since that blood cannot be used for Kvitsa, because we learned that as soon as you sprinkle any dam left on your finger, automatically becomes Shrayim, and the tongue Kvisa, then Kvisa won't be required, even though you're still in the middle of the Kvisa procedure. Eisvei, Abaya, so asks Abaya, we learned in Masechta Zvachim, where in describing the procedure of the Paraduma, and it says there, Gomer Malahazis, when the Kohen finished doing all the sprinkling of the dam, Mekanech Yada Begufa Shaparei, he takes his hand and he wipes it in the body, in the carcass of the Paraduma. Because as we explained in Masechta Zvachim, all of the remainder of the Paraduma must be burnt, including the dam that's on his hand. But what does the Braisa say there? Gomer in. Only when you completed all of the hazos does the dam become Shirayim and should be wiped in that carcass. Anything prior to that, loy gomer, if you haven't completed all of the zrikas, loy. The dam doesn't become Shirayim. But we're saying, after each individual zrika, it becomes Shirayim. Amalei, that's not the way to understand the Braisa. Rather, the way to understand the Braisa is as follows. Gomer, if you finished all of the zrikas, the mekanech yada, go down and wipe your hand in that carcass. Loy gomer, when you didn't finish, doesn't mean that the leftover blood on your finger is still usable. No! The leftover blood on your finger becomes Shrayim. But you don't have to go down to the carcass of the Paraduma to wipe your finger. Mekanech etzboy. Just wipe your finger. Ask the Gemara, Bishlama, well, we just explained that when you finish the entire procedure of Zrika, Gomer, Mekanech Yodoi, Begufish Laparoi, that you go down and you wipe your hand down that carcass, the Ksiv, the Sarf, a part of Leinov. And that's included, as I said, in burning up all of the Parah. Elo Gomer, but if you didn't finish, and we're not requiring, the Braisa isn't requiring you to go down and wipe your hand in the Parah Aduma carcass. But we are learning that you have to get rid of that blood. Because that blood that's left on your finger after you did that individual's Zrika became Shrayim. But my Mekanech, where do you wipe it? Answer the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Bisfas Mizrik. You're taking all of the blood out of a bowl to do the Zrika. So between Zrikas, what the Kohen is obligated to do is wipe his finger on the rim of that bowl. And he says, Kriksiv, and in fact, as the Pasuk taught us, Kippurezov. That the halacha is, the word Kippur means to wipe. And that's what we're learning, that the blood that's left over after each individual Zrika, that becomes Shrayim, and therefore is possible for the Zrika, should be wiped on the rim of the Keli. We go back to the beginning of the Shia. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Elazar Hachi, does Rabbi Elazar hold that by dam, if you were Mekadosh the dam, if you didn't get all of the requisite amount of dam in the Keli that you need, it's not Kadosh, Vitmer. We're going to, Umi Amar Rabbi Elazar Hachi, is that indeed the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Vitmer? We learned the following halacha. Chavite Kohen Gadol, very quick introduction. We're not really learning the sugya of Chavite Kohen Gadol today. Every day the Kohen Gadol had to bring Chavite Kohen Gadol. It's a Karban Mincha. But it has very unique halachas. Machtzisa beboike, machtzisa be'erif. Half was brought with the Talmud Shel Shachar, and half was brought with the Talmud Shel Ben Abayim. It has some very unique rules. It does come from an isar and a flower, like all Karban Minchas. It does require a loyd shem, like all Karban Minchas. However, as we will learn, the standard Karban Mincha has 10 chalas. This had 12 chalas. Machloikas Rishonim, Rambam and Ravid, how did it work? The Rambam's opinion is that you bake 12 chalas, 6 were used in the morning, and 6 were used in the afternoon. The Ravid learns that they bake 12 chalas, 12 halves were in the morning, and 12 halves were in the afternoon. But the Gemara discusses these Chavite Kohen Gadol. Vitmer, Chavite Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Kedusha L'Chatzoyim. Even though, as we just described, half were brought in the morning, half were brought in the afternoon, You have to bring them all together in the morning. Even though you could bring half in the morning, kedusha lachtzayin. You could, just like a makrif half, you could bring half. Vim Esa asked the Gemara if Rebbe Lazar says that we learn from dam, and that you have to have the whole amount, leil of midam, that it shouldn't be acceptable. So Tosfos asked the obvious question. What's the Gemara's question that we should learn chaviti kohen gadol from dam? Rebbe Lazar himself gave you the answer. Because b'toch shekreva, since it's brought in the morning and in the afternoon, that's why it can be brought in two shifts. Dam doesn't have that halacha. So what's the Gemara's having mean that you should learn dam from chaviti kohen gadol? So there are many answers given. We'll quote two. One answer is, you can make the same argument by dam. Because by dam, every zrika is an individual zrika. Yet, even though each zrika is an individual zrika, you have to have enough dam for all the zrikas. The same by the chavit kohen gadol, the Gemara is saying, even though each one is brought separately, it should be, you should have to be mekadesh at one time. All the mefarshim find this teretz very difficult. You can't compare the four zrikas of one carbon, or whatever amount of zrikas of one carbon, to the chavit kohen gadol, which are two separate kabbanas in the morning and the afternoon. Therefore, the Rishonim give a different explanation of Rebbe Lazar. They say as follows. This is the way to understand Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar's opinion is that always you could do things piecemeal. Why did he say chavit kohen gadol because you bring in the morning and the afternoon? He's speaking to Rabbi Yochanan. He's saying, my opinion is, in all situations you could do, you don't have to have all of it at one time. You don't want to agree with me, Rabbi Yochanan, says Rebbe Lazar, but at least agree with me about chavit kohen gadol, given that they're brought in two separate times. They should be able to be nigdash in two separate times. But I hold, you could always be magdash at priest meal. Which the Gemara says, why? You should learn from them that you can't. The chitayim, it continues the Gemara. Milsami milsalai gomer. He doesn't use, he holds that you can't learn the halacha of mincha from the halacha of dam. Vo'amar Rebbe Lazar, that isn't true. Because Rebbe Lazar says, mincha should come to behechel ksheira. If the kmitz of a mincha was done in the base of mikdash itself, it's kosher. She came and seen a basilik bezichin. We find, we discussed at the beginning of a shir, that every lechem upon him, where was the kmitz, what is the kmitz by the lechem upon him? The removal of those spoons of levoina, and where is it done? In the base of mikdash proper. So therefore we learn that by all kabbanis, the kmitz could be done in the heichel. So we see that he does compare one subject to another. Says the Gemara, mincha mi mincha. We want to learn one halacha of mincha from a different type of mincha. That Rebbe Lazar yalef. Mincha mi dam. Lo yalef. To learn the halacha of a mincha from a carbon of dam, that he says is unacceptable. Ask the Gemara, let's think about it. Or mincha mi mincha mi yalef? Is it a fact that Rebbe Lazar learns the halacha of one carbon mincha from another carbon mincha? A word of introduction. A sugi that we're going to work with tomorrow. The halacha is that if somebody has all of the ingredients of the karba mincha, and before the kmitza was done, some of those ingredients were depleted, and you then do kmitza, that kmitza is unacceptable kmitza. On the other hand, there's another case, which we're going to refer to in today's shir and in tomorrow's shir. You did the kmitza after, with the entire amount there. But before you had a chance to do the aktara of the kmitza, some of the shirayim got depleted. One opinion says that you can't do aktara in that kmitz. Another opinion says you can. So says the Gemara. The Braisa speaks about the lechem upon him. Achloi pirka. If before they removed the loaves of bread from the shulchan, Nifrasa lachma, some of the bread crumbled. So the halach is halechem posel. The lechem becomes posel. Vei makdal of his bezichin. And you won't be able to do haktar of the bezichin. Why? Because that is a situation where you lost part of the karban mincha before the kmitza. And the halach is you can't do it anymore. Why, if it crumbles, it's considered that you're missing? So I saw two approaches in the Achroinim. The Malbim explained because the Torah says halechem, they have to be whole. Crumbled is not halechem. So Sema says the simpler pshat. He says if bread crumbles, You're going to lose a crumb. It can't crumble without you having every crumb. However, Mishapirka, if after you took out the bread, then nifras lachma, only then does the bread crumble. Halechem posel, the lechem is posel, or maktalof is a zichem. You won't be able to eat that bread, but you'll still be able to do raktar b'zichem. Rabbi Elazar says, loy pirka mamish. When I speak about taking it out, says Rabbi Elazar, a very big kula, it doesn't mean that you actually took it out. El kivin shegiyas mana lifrik. If the time for taking out came, apish loy pirka. Even though you haven't taken it out, the halacha looks at it, kamisha pirka damya, as if it's already been taken out. What is the time for taking out? I saw a very big machlokas achroinim. Some achroinim are of the opinion that the zman for taking it out is the seventh hour of the day. Why? Because the Torah says regarding the carbon musaf, this is relevant to halacha, ubeyoyim hashabbos. So the zman for davening musaf is b'shar shishis, and after they davened musaf, they did the avoid of the lecha upon him, which was the seventh hour of the day. The Mechitz Chinuch and the Mikdash Tov disagree. They have a very interesting approach. They say the halacha is the lechem upon him has to be on the shulchan 7 full 24-hour periods. So it has to be the same time that you put it into the shulchan last week Shabbos. Actually, this is the basis for a minig that some chassidim have, that they daven musaf late on Shabbos. Because the first opinion that we said was the musaf has to be davened b'shar shishis only. B'shar shishis is by chatzos. So if you're supposed to daven musaf late, that's why they start chakras late. They shouldn't have a musaf too early. Actually, but this gemara is the basis for a very big shaila, not relevant to kachim at all. Rav Elazar is teaching us in our gemara, it's a kula, but it could also be a chumra, that the halacha looks at something, it looks at the potential. Doesn't mean, Rav Elazar says, mishapirka doesn't mean when you actually took it out, as long as you already may take it out. The question that comes up, as we know, according to the opinion of many Rishonim, for area to be considered Rishus Rabbim, it has to be a place where 600,000 people pass every day. So the question is, even if you'll have streets that sometimes have 600,000 people going on it every day, even those streets don't necessarily have it every day, because you have Saturdays and you have Sundays and you have holidays where the traffic goes down. So is it considered Rishus Rabbim? Paiskim say that our Gemara teaches us we look at the potential. Since this is a road that has the ability to have 600,000 people, the fact that there's a specific day that you could show me that didn't have 600,000 people doesn't make a difference. But back to Masechta Menachos. El kivish is mana lipirk, abish loy pirka kamisha pirka damya. And therefore it will not disqualify the bezichin. But ask the Gemara, v'amai, t'avi kamecha shechos rekoinu kamitza. If the bread crumbled prior to the bezichin, the halacha should be that it's disqualified. Says the Gemara, you can't compare the two situations. Holei kasha. When you take a regular karban mincha, and part of the ingredients of that karban mincha got lost before you did the kmitza, so that not only affected the mincha, it affected the kaimitz. It's all proportional. And therefore, mincha lebar breira, kaimitz the day, var breira, Barab comes today. Let's understand what the Gemara is saying. Although we've been spending time, and we're going to spend a lot of time comparing lechem aponim as a form of mincha to all karban minchas, there's a very, very significant difference. By all karban minchas, until you actually do the kaimitz, it's all mixed together. By the lechem aponim, the bezichin are separate from the word, from the inception. They're on top of the shulchan. So therefore, the halacha is very different. Buy a regular karban mincha if you lose some of the ingredients before you did the kmitza, so it also proportionally affected the kmitza, and that's why it disqualifies the karban. Here, it doesn't affect the kmitza if something happens to the bread, because the bezichin, which is the kmitza of the lechem aponim, are set aside separately all along. Ask the Gemara, v'kivin shegiyas man lifrik. Rabbi Elazar continued teaching us that once the time to take out the lechem upon him comes, we look at it, command the prokadamia. It's as if it was removed. Elam Ato says the Gemara, Kavishraim Shechosru Kmitza Laktara. Yes, we've identified that the Kmitza is separate. But let's understand, we discussed at the introductory remarks to this piece of Gemara. Then let's say you did the kmitza properly. And then afterwards, before you were able to enact the kmitz, something happens to the shrayim. We said there's a machloikis, if you could still do the haktara. So here, even if we'll say that it didn't affect the kmitz, but if the shrayim, something happens to them, how can you do the haktara's bezika? Bezichin. El ma'ata, tavik ha-shrayim she-chosru, ben kmitz la-haktara, dey maktim kmitz alayim. So it still shouldn't be acceptable, even if we'll say that the kaimits are separate. And even if we'll say that the halacha looks at it as if it's taken out. The bottom line is, if some of your shirayim are missing, it should stop you from being able to do that Torah of the Bezichit. Answers the Gemara. Lav, as we said, this question, if something happens to the shirayim, will it affect the ability to do that Torah's kaimits, is actually the subject of a machlaikis. And Rabbi Lozer says the Gemara, Savala Commander Omar, Shiraim Shachotsu ben Kemitz Lak Torah, Mak the Chaim Tzaleim, it doesn't affect the Kemitz. It doesn't affect the Haktarah's Kemitz. And therefore, even though this bread, something might have happened to it prior to the Haktarah's Bezichin, it doesn't stop us from doing the Haktarah's Bezichin. Continues the Gemara, back to what we started on the bottom of Zion Mabez, Gufa. Chavita Kain Godel, Rabbi Yochanan Ma'en Kedusha Lak Tzoyin, you can't be magdashit halfway. Rabbi Loza betoksh krev lach tzoyim, kedush lach tzoyim. Since it's brought in two shifts, it's nigdash in two shifts. Arav acha my time with Rabbi Yochanan. What is the basis of Rabbi Yochanan? Amakra, mincha machtzisa. Teaches Rabbi Yochanan that the Torah is teaching us, heavy mincha, bring the whole cup of mincha, vakach tzayu, and then only divide it. Meisvei, ask the Gemara on Rabbi Lezer, chavita kain godl, loy hayu boyz katzoyim. They weren't brought in half. Ella, maybe Sarim Shalom, for Chatzayu, bring the entire Sarim, and then divide it. The Tanya, and another Braisa. Ilu Nema Mincha Machtzis, were the Torah to use the word Mincha Machtzis, indeed, Hayisi Omer, maybe Chatzi Tzarmi Beisai, Shachris, or Makriv, Chatzi Chitzarmi Beisai, Arvis and Makriv, bring it in two halves. Tamalayma, the Torah uses the words Machtzis of a Biker, Machtza, Mishalom Humevi. So we see that the Torah is telling us, these two brises both say that you have to bring the whole Isarin. So how does Rabbi Lazar say you could bring half and half? Answers the Gemara, L'mitzvah. Rabbi Lazar certainly agrees that L'chatchili you should bring the whole thing. The question is, what is if you didn't? Where Rabbi Yochanan will hold it'll be disqualified, and Rabbanan will hold it's not. What is the basis of the machlokes of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan? So I saw the Achronim give a number of explanations. One explanation is that Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that we can't treat the Kiddush of this Isarin more strictly than that Krova. So if that Krova is done in two halves, then the Kiddush should be done in two halves. That's a simple pshat. And it's a little more lamdish pshat. We've been understanding that there are two steps. There's a step of being Magdish the Isarin, and there's a step of being mak of the Isarin. Say that Achroin, the Machloikis of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yochanan is a very lomdish Machloikis. A Kiddush and Akrava connected? The Kiddush is the first step in the Akrava? Or is Kiddush Kiddush and Akrava is Akrava? According to Rabbi Lezer, Kiddush and Akrava travel together. So if that Akrava is done, then the Kiddush is done separately. If, on the other hand, Kiddush is Kiddush, Hakrav is Hakrav, says Rabbi Yochanan, indeed that Hakrav is done in two separate times, but the Kiddush has to be done together. What will be the nafkamina between these two Pshatim and Achroinim, and how to understand the opinion of Rabbi Lezer? Is there a point in Lechatchila being Magdish altogether? If we say Rabbi Lezer agrees that the Kiddush and Hakrav, the first explanation, are two separate concepts, we're just saying we shouldn't be more machmir by the Kiddush than by Hakrav, Rabbi Lezer will agree that Lechatchila should be Magdish all at once. But if we say that Rabbi Lozer is of the opinion that the Kiddush and Akrav is really one act, so just like you have to be Makrovit separately, you should be Magdashit separately, and there is no point in being Magdashit all at once, according to Rabbi Lozer. Amalei Rabbi Gavir Mebei Kosla Ravashi. V'chukik Sabei. How can we say that when the Torah says bring it all together, it's only L'chatchila? We know wherever the Torah uses the word chukka, it means that's essential it be done that way. So how could you suggest that it's only l'chatchila, amalei, l'nitzuch el l'havi shalom ebeisai. The Torah is teaching us a very interesting din. Everybody agrees, even Rabbi Lazar, that when you bring the ingredients from home, you have to bring all of it. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the Kiddush. That's the subject of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan's Machlokes. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan insist that you bring the entire Yisarin, Vitmer? We learned other plays. Hifrish Chatzi Hitzaroin. If you took off only, if you only brought a Chatzi Hitzaroin, the Data Lahaisif, and you intend to bring the rest, Rav Amar Ein Kadosh. Rav says, it's not acceptable. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kadosh. Ask the Gemara, v'misa leilif mechavitim. This is the way that Karen Oyer explains the Gemara's question. If by chavitim, will we know the halacha is that you have to bring half in the morning and half in the afternoon? You back of half in the morning, half in the afternoon. Still tells us Rabbi Yochanan, you got to bring the entire Yisarin l'shalim. So certainly in a carbon where you're going to bring all, in a regular carbon mincha where you have to bring the entire, where you're going to have to use the entire Yisarin, that the lahaisif shouldn't be good enough. V'chi teimen, if you'll argue, Rabbi Yochanan milsim and milsim lo yalf, Rabbi Yochanan says you can't learn one carbon mincha from another carbon mincha. Says the Gemara, I'll show you that that isn't true. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, shalom sheshachn behechel. The halach is that a carbon shlomim is supposed to be slaughtered in the Azara. How do we know that shlomim sheshachn behechel? That you shechted the carbon shlomim in the base of Mikdash itself, the tsksherim, the ksiv is shachta pesach al moid. The Torah tells us to shecht it at the entrance of the Pesach of the Almoid. So the halach is, if you could shecht it in the Azara, you certainly could shecht it in the Heichel itself. So we see that he does learn one halacha from another. Says the Gemara, Data Lahaisav Shani. Rabbi Yochanan holds, there's a very strong point here, called Data Lahaisav. And whenever it's Data Lahaisav, the halacha looks at it as if you did the entire act. Because the halacha gives a lot of credence to your intention. And your intention to bring the entire Yisarin is even stronger than anything else. In fact, I saw the Paiskim discuss, now that we've established this halacha of Dat al-Haisaf, I think we once discussed this halacha here. Could we say Dat al-Haisaf in every area of halacha? That means, let's say on Sukkot, you're supposed to take Dalaminim. So let's say I pick up only the Esrig. But Dat al-Haisaf, I intend to take all the other Minim. Would that be acceptable? So the Paiskim try to make the following Hagdorah. They say sometimes the Torah wants an act done in a specific manner. When the Torah requires an act done in a specific manner, you can't say Dat al-Haisaf. The Torah wants us to take all Dal and Minim, you can't say Dat al-Haisaf. However, there are times the Torah only looks for the result. There you can rely on Dat al-Haisaf. Where? The Torah wants an Isarin. So you brought a half Isarin and you intend to bring the rest. So it's Dat al-Haisaf. Where's another example? We know that by Pinyan Aben, you're supposed to give the Kohen Chomer Slaim. So let's say you gave the Kohen only two Slaim, but you intend to give him the remaining three Slaim. You'll be able to say Dat al-Haisaf, and it'll be a valid Pinyan Aben. Malayim, the Tanya, where do we see this concept in a Brice of Dat al-Haisaf? Malayim, a Malayim el-Shlaim. You have the entire amount. Varab Yomisi. Amosai, when is there a problem that if you don't bring the entire amount, it's disqualified? Bezmanche ain't Dat al-Haisaf. Al bezmanche Dat al-Haisaf, if it is your intention to bring what you want to bring, Rishon Rishon Kodesh. Ask the Gemara. V'Rav. Rav says that you have to bring by Kavim Mincha the entire Sarin. He doesn't subscribe to the concept of Dat al-Haisaf. Ask the Gemara. Command severely. Who does Rav agree with? Iker Belezer. If he agrees with Rabbi Elazar by Chavitim, that you could bring half and half, Leila Mechavitim. V'chit Haimah, Rav Milsim Milsim Yalef, Rav can't learn from Chavitim, because he doesn't use one subject to teach us another subject. I'll tell you that that is not true. V'chit Rav, Mincha Kedusha B'lai Shemen. If the halacha is a regular carbon mincha, has to have oil, and flour, and levoina. What would be the halacha if you only have the flour? Shekem et sinu b'lechem upon him. By the lechem upon him, you don't have any oil. Beloy levoina, you can learn from it's kaddish without levoina. She came to see the mechus nesachim. The mechus nesachim don't have any levoina. Beloy shem, beloy levoina, missing both. She came to see the mechus chayta. That there's no shem and levoina, it still becomes kaddish. So we see that Rav learns the halacha that you can be magdish even a kavim mincha with missing ingredients because he compares it to other kavim minchas. So why? Does Rav insist that by regular carbon mincha, you have to have all of the ingredients? Must be, says the Gemara, Al Kocha Rav Rav Yochanan Sfirulei. Rav agrees with Rav Yochanan, by the Michas Chavitim, you have to bring the entire, all of the ingredients. However, as the Shita explains, Rav goes one step beyond Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says you have to bring all the ingredients by the Michas Chavitim, but Rav Yochanan was Mechadish, there's a concept of Data Lahaysef. Rav doesn't agree. And even though, says the Shita, it isn't Rav Yochanan, it's Rav Yossi, and Rav Yossi is a Tana, here we have to say Rav Tana Umpalik, and Rav has the right to disagree with Rav Yossi the Tana. There's another Peshat that the Tana Kama disagrees with Rav Yossi, and Rav is following that. Gufa. Amar Rav, Mincha Kedusha B'lo Shemen, Mincha can become Kadosh without any oil, Shekem Tzin V'lechem upon him. There's no oil in it. B'lo Levoina, because we have a precedent by Minchas Mesachim, Shekem Tzin V'nechel Sachim. B'lo Shem, B'lo Levoina, it still becomes Kadosh, Shekem Tzin V'mechas Chayta. V'shem v'levoina, the shemen v'levoina also kachi high below high, the high below high. The shemen can become kadosh by itself, and the levoina can become kadosh by itself. Shemen, we have a precedent that shemen becomes kadosh by itself. Shekem tzina below shemen shel metzayra, that all you have is just oil. Levoina shekem tzina b'levoina habab bezichin, the spoons of the lechem upon him, that all you have is just levoina. Rav Chanina Amar. Rav Chanina, however, disagrees. Loi zu kedusha v'loi zu, v'loi zu kedusha v'loi zu. All of them have to become together. Interestingly, the Rishonim say, so it turns out, according to Rav Chanina, the keli for which they put in the ingredients of a karban mincha must have had three spouts. One spout you had flour, one spout you had oil, and one spout you had levoina, and all of them came into that keli at the exact same moment. Continues the Gemara, and Chanina is Saran Lama Nimshech. The Saran is the keli in which they bring the flour for the Karban Mincha. But according to Chanina, the flour itself doesn't become Kaddish. Why does a keli require Mashicha? That it should be effective. But here it's not going to be used, because the Saran alone doesn't make him Kaddish. So the Gemara Mechas Chayta. Rav Chanina agrees that the Mechas Chayta only has flour. The Loig Lama Nimshech. Why is the Loig Nimshech? It's only going to be used for oil. Again, says the Gemara, loig shemesh metzayra. It's used for the loig of the metzayra, which is only oil. Continues the Gemara, v'af Shmuel sava lahal derav. Shmuel also agrees with Rav's psak. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, kli alach, a keli that's used to hold liquids, mekach mislach. When you put the liquids in them, they become kaddish. Umidas hayovish, kelim that are used to hold dry ingredients, mekach and hayovish. Ain kli alach mekachin asayovish. A keli that's used for liquids can't be mekadish dry ingredients. V'loy midas hayovish mekachin asalach. And kelim that are used for dry ingredients cannot be used for liquids. V'amishmu. And Shmuel comments on this. Loy shana el midos. The kelim that were used to measure flour cannot be used to be mekadish liquids. Ava mizrukos. Bowls, we spoke about the mizrukas at the beginning of Shuyer, that are used to be makabel dam or other liquids, mekachis hisayovish. Shnemar, shneim, meleim soilus, blula v'shem lemincha. So we see that even though it's a mizruk, and it's useful, it can be used to be makadish flour, and flour alone. So we see that flour alone is niskadish according to Shmuel, like Rav said. Amalei Rav Achim Adifta Lervina, mincha lachahi. Why are you calling a mincha yavish? Mincha has oil in it. Doesn't that make it into a liquid? Amalei le'nitzucha elul yavish ba. Sometimes there are parts of the mincha that are just flour that didn't get mixed up with the oil. V'bayis ema. Mincha is indeed has some moisture, but everything is relative. And when you compare a mincha to dam, mincha l'gabe dam, which the mizruk is usually used for, ki yavish dami. But what's the point? Here we see that you could have a kedusha of flour alone, which is exactly what Rav said, that you doesn't have to have all the ingredients together to be in Skadish, and Shmuel's concurring.